Welcome to another Sunday edition of Truth Jihad Radio, right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. I'm on here every weekend, same time, same channel, 2 to 4 p.m. You can find out more about my guest list and so on at my website, which is barrettforcongress.us. Well, this year's anniversary of 9/11 was kind of reminiscent of what happened 7 years ago, only this time, instead of buildings blowing up, it was the economy blowing up. And guess what? It looks like it was the same demolition crew that handled both jobs. I'm going to be bringing on a guest in the first hour who is really on top of this. He's got a fair bit of expertise on the financial end. He's been working with 911truthla.com for quite some time. And he wrote in a recent email that it's clear that the 1921 versus 2001 choice has been made, almost 7 years to the date with respect to 9/11. Was this financial disaster followed by the billionaire banker's $700 billion bailout just another example of what Naomi Klein calls the shock doctrine? Blast us with a psychic shock, you know, blow up the World Trade Center, blow up the economy. And then centralized power. And guess what? Right after they did that, this 9/11, they repealed Posse Comitatus, and we're going to have NORTHCOM, that branch of the U.S. military responsible for North America, installing peacekeepers. Well, don't worry, though, folks. It's just non-lethal weaponry, stuff like tasers and phasers and masers and you know, zappers and chemicals and all kinds of fun things like that. They won't really bother you very much when the troops come marching down your street to tase and phase and chemically bathe you. So it looks pretty bad, and my guest will hopefully illuminate that. I hope he's on the line, so let's give him a shot. Welcome Peter Fottam of 911truthla.com. Peter, are you there?
Hi, Kevin. It's good to be here again.
Hey, it's great to have you back. You know, Your expertise in these financial areas seems to be, you know, more and more useful as we enter this latest financial crunch. I understand that you're not only analyzing it and spreading the word about it, but you're also organizing a certain amount of protest and resistance in the L.A. area.
Yeah, no, 9/11 Truth L.A. just set up an affiliate group that is launching on October 4th called the Mad as Hell Network, and the website is the madashellnetwork.org. But before I get into that, I do want to make one quick correction. It's not the 1921 versus 2001 choice. It's the 1929, October 1929.
Yeah, 1921?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 1929 versus 2001 choice, indeed.
So we've always maintained, or over the past year certainly, that the establishment, the interests that were behind the September 11 attacks and enabling the police state infrastructure, you know, would have to do something again pretty soon this year, probably, to deal with the economic forces that were coming to bear here. And I think the last couple of years, what we've seen since 9/11 is the police state infrastructure, legal elements, political elements, all laid in place to enable, you know, one of several things. If you look at a lot of the executive orders that were signed over the last 3 years, several of them deal with financial collapse and an emergency economic situation. And I think, you know, events of the last month were not accidental. They were planned, that the Federal Reserve and Greenspan and many of the people behind the $700 billion bailout package have been architecting this, frankly, since the early part of this year, since Elliott Spitzer was taken down in February and Bear Stearns and that whole Federal Reserve bailout took place.
And was Spitzer actually going after some of these people?
Absolutely. There's a fantastic editorial that everyone should take a look at. Spitzer wrote on February 14th about Bush and the banking system and Bush's complicity in a lot of the banking fraud, mortgage fraud that was going on, his enabling of a lot of the subprime manipulation. That February 14th editorial, frankly, I think was the trigger for the FBI investigations that almost a month later, on the date that the Fed announced the bailout of Bear Stearns, the morning of that, right before, a couple of hours before that was announced, you had Elliott Spitzer basically trotted out and lynched in front of the American people for this Cloud 9 prostitution scandal, which had absolutely nothing to do with why he was being taken down. He was being taken down, Kevin, because he cost Wall Street, as the district attorney in New York and then later as the governor, over $3.2 billion in hard cash, dollars that the firms on Wall Street had to pay out for a settlement. And this was their revenge on him. And it was also, he was one of the few people on the East Coast who had the guts, just like Paul Wellstone did, to hold the administration accountable for the manipulations that were going on in the banking sector.
So what's going on here is there's a criminal cartel in the banking sector that is trying to consolidate power, and they're using fraud to engineer this crisis, and then they'll grab even more power as the government bails them out and gives Paulson dictatorial powers over the financial sector. Is that kind of what's going on?
Absolutely. Let me be more specific. I want everyone on this call to know who the players that we're talking about are and what they have in common. I used to work for Goldman Sachs straight out of college, you know, two-year analyst program, capital markets group. And I met Bob Rubin at the time. He came to a conference that I was at and spoke. And Paulson was just getting started. I think the role of Goldman Sachs / Citibank and Bob Rubin, who's on the board of directors of Citibank now, Rubin and Paulson at different points in time were co-CEOs of Goldman Sachs. And then you have a guy named Steve Friedman, who was Bush's first choice for Secretary of the Treasury. He was a co-CEO of Goldman Sachs. And, of course, you have John Corzine, who is now governor, I think, of New Jersey, former co-CEO with Hank Paulson. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is Lehman Brothers, of all the, all these banks that have been allowed to be bailed out by the government, taxpayer, Federal Reserve, the one that was allowed to go bankrupt was Lehman Brothers. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is that Lehman Brothers was Goldman Sachs' primary competition in the investment banking world. Lehman obviously went under and before they started doing this bailout package. And you have an enormous amount of power and concentration of clout and wealth, political and financial, now vested in essentially two major firms, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. And then on the flip side, on the universal banking side, J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley used to be the same company before they were split in the early 20th century, right around the time of the Depression. Too much power as a result of the antitrust legislation. But here's what people also need to understand. What Goldman and Morgan Stanley have done this week is created with Paulson sort of pushing it through, aided and abetted by Bush and company, they've created an emergency, a 9/11 of the financial industry, where the Osama bin Ladens of that, this new 9/11, have essentially been Hank Paulson from Goldman Sachs and then, Alan Greenspan and that ilk, if you look back further. They've enabled.
Wait a minute. I don't understand that particular comparison, Peter, because bin Laden, of course, was the Emmanuel Goldstein of 9/11. That is, he was this, sort of illusory enemy figure. But these guys.
No, you're right. I'm qualifying. I'm just speaking metaphorically there in terms of the official
okay.
story. But Goldman. When we're looking at what's going on here, this is the biggest financial restructuring, Kevin, since the Great Depression. This is unprecedented. The Glass-Steagall Act has been completely done away with now, and the two major investment banks are now universal banks. They're on the same footing as Bank of America and J.P. Morgan. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are now the same type of banks. Now, why is that important? What's critical to understand is that the reason Glass-Steagall was passed during the 30s was because a lot of banks were making loans to companies that they had investments in using depositors' money. And the same thing is going to happen now. What Goldman and Morgan Stanley have done is created a situation where they can circumvent those Chinese laws that used to exist and make loans to companies that they have investment relationships with or that they cover for the street. So, and on top of that, Paulson has been pushing, this is true the early part of this year, although he's not been public about it recently, they've been pushing for the SEC's jurisdictional authority, for a good chunk of that, the Securities and Exchange Commission's powers, to be transferred to the Federal Reserve. Okay? And I think what is absolutely important, if I have to scream about one thing, it's this. The Federal Reserve is a non-public institution owned essentially, the equity is owned by banks, mostly out of New York. And you have seen a tremendous transfer of power enabled now because of this bailout package and because of a push, what Bush and Paulson were pushing in the early part of this year, where the public oversight responsibility has essentially been co-opted by the private sector and taken over by Wall Street. So not only is Wall Street...
You're saying they're going to abolish the SEC?
No, I don't think they're going to abolish it. But you know, when Bush, I mean, there's a lot of talk happening right now, and it's going to build after this bailout package gets pushed through about the failures of the SEC and why there's a need for some different type of structure to be put in place. Paulson, from the beginning of this year, has been pushing for SEC jurisdictional oversight powers to be transferred. You know, you have something called the 33 Act and the 34 Act. 33 Act applies to companies that are going public. The 34 Act applies to companies that have gone public. And what Wall Street is now trying to do is get some of the oversight regulatory responsibilities transferred away from the SEC, which is a public agency, to the Federal Reserve, which is a non-public agency. And there's no accountability or transparency when it comes to the Federal Reserve. Right? And so the problem going forward is that you will likely see manipulated earnings and numbers coming out to the bottom line, and all sorts of conflicts of interest playing themselves out as these big banks, Goldman, Citibank, J.P. Morgan, and now Morgan Stanley, basically manipulate their deposit holdings. Right? J.P. Morgan just bought Washington Mutual's deposit base. They're going to take regular taxpayers, not just their taxes, but their deposits, and they're going to make loans to companies that they have previously taken public or are going to be taking public and have investment relationships with. That's exactly what led to the 1929 style crash. It's one of the major reasons. And you know, it's a major redesigning of the entire American financial system. Capitalism, as it was supposedly supposed to exist in this country, has been transformed, completely transformed by the events of the last month, and certainly the last 2 weeks. America, if this bailout package passes, which it looks like it certainly will be a very different creature emerging from September 2008 as we go into October. And there's more to say about it.
Almost like a, you know, it seems like it really reminds me of fascism in the sense of corporatism, where the government and the biggest corporations kind of merge and become one body and lord it over everybody else in a militarized society.
Yeah. Well, think about the debates and what you're saying. I mean, the Tweedledee Tweedledum show, you know, I was appalled at the debate. Obama essentially gave a lot of lip service to nominal differences, but didn't attack on any of the major accounts. He could have really hounded on this financial crisis as a creation of the Republican Party, but he didn't. He backed off. You know, the two parties are in the hands of Wall Street. And I think what we all should understand in the movement, the truth movement, is that today and probably for most of the last 50 years, but increasingly so now, Wall Street is the military-industrial complex, is the CIA, is the media. And what you are seeing emerge now in a fast-forward type of way is the architecting of an Orwellian fascist state. And like you, as you identified, fascism now is the alignment of corporate interests with the government's interests. They're one and the same. And the bailout of Wall Street by the taxpayers is being entirely pushed by the co-chairman of Goldman Sachs. Bob Rubin is the architect of Obama's financial, and he's the head of the financial policy for the Obama campaign. He was Clinton's Secretary of the Treasury. Again, both of these guys are ex-Goldman Sachs chairmen, Paulson and Rubin. And they're important people to, can't just talk about the companies. We have to focus on the individuals that are pushing forward these agendas in this emergency post-9/11 style fashion, as if we have no alternative. Basically, on Wednesday, Bush gave that speech, that 12-minute speech, and held a gun to the American people's head. Said, if you don't pass the $700 billion bailout package, this entire economy is going to go to hell, and we're going to see something far worse than the Great Depression. That's essentially what they've been, Bernanke and these characters, have been painting. They've been...
Well, this reminds me of exactly what Naomi Klein writes about in the Shock Doctrine, as was done in Chile and these other economies where they wanted to radically change the power structure in the economy, and so they created a crisis.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is not happening accidentally, all right? What's happening today goes back to Chile, Milton Friedman going down there making advice. They are shocking the American people. In California, which is where I'm at, Schwarzenegger is using this policy now to make a lot of the temporary job cuts that he announced a couple months ago permanent. And there are all sorts of radical cuts now being proposed in the state spending. And there's a major rollback in the public sector that's implemented.
We've got to get those $700 billion for the bankers somewhere, don't we? I guess it's going to come out of our pockets, folks. All right, we'll be back for some more in a moment. This is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Peter Fottom of 911truthla.com, and we shall return.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. You're listening to We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett, bringing you some of the most interesting guests that you'll never hear on the mainstream. And next hour, we'll bring on Ed Thompson, Wisconsin's most popular libertarian politician, or should I say statesman. In fact, he's one of the most popular libertarians in the country and one of the most successful third-party candidates ever, along with Dale Decker, another Wisconsin troublemaker who's working with the Union Down movement, saying it's time to fly our flags upside down as a symbol of dire distress. Well, Peter, we're talking about the financial crunch, and it's really interesting. It arrived just in time for the anniversary of 9/11, and I understand that out in L.A. You had some interesting activities going on to commemorate the 7th anniversary of the false flag 9/11 inside job.
Yeah, we had a fantastic event at Emmanuel Presbyterian on Thursday, September 11th. We had over 350 people attend. It was really great. It was a talk by Dr. Bob Bowman, who ran for president in 2000. Edward Griffin, who is the author of Creature from Jekyll Island, he gave a terrific talk about the Federal Reserve and the manipulation of language in politics today. And I gave an extensive talk on the economy and the police state infrastructure, the executive orders specifically, that have been strengthened and passed in the last couple of years. People were there. We were supposed to be from 6 to 10. We ended up, people were there till 11:30. We had at least 200-plus people, around 11 o'clock when we started to wrap up. And I think it was a great success. There's a lot of interest. Obviously, this all actually happened before the crisis really sort of took off, which was the following week. before the $700 billion bailout package was being put forward, before you saw Washington Mutual, AIG, Merrill Lynch, all of that sort of implode with the rescuers coming in. So I think our timing was dead on. I actually talked at length about Washington Mutual and the problems it was having. I had no idea it was going to collapse 2 weeks later, but it did. And
you've been kind of ahead of the curve. In fact, a lot of other people who are awake to the reality of 9/11 have been ahead of the curve on this financial crisis, knowing that this was coming, just kind of watching this disaster unfolding in slow motion and wondering, when it really is going to hit the fan. And, so when it does, we kind of expected it. We just didn't know exactly when.
Yeah, and it's strange to actually be at this present. I mean, I think we're all sort of feeling a little bit giddy because we were right, but also a little scared because we're not sure. We're debating. We had a big steering committee meeting last week. What do we do now? How do we move forward? And where is this going? And how do we, the people, organize to preempt and prevent what appears to be a form of martial law that might be coming down the line? I mean, there's a need for an emergency summit, I think. And at least in Los Angeles, we're going to have an emergency crisis meeting on October 4th, Saturday, October 4th. Again, I mentioned at the beginning that we launched a new affiliate group just this past weekend, called madashellnetwork.org. And that's a play off the film Network, which came out in the late 70s, which is about the media and about the manipulation of politics and media by the corporate sector. We're planning some major protests with local congressional reps, various city councils. We're going to be scheduling something 2 weeks from now at the LA City Council. And, I'm getting a ton of emails from people I've never heard from who found out about the network launch, saying that they have mortgage problems, they cannot support themselves, they're facing bankruptcy. I mean, there is a real crisis going on out here. People are losing their homes. There are people, the stray pet population in the city of Los Angeles is up 25% to 30% just in the last year. And they're saying the vast majority of that has to do with foreclosed homeowners turning their pets into the streets because they can't afford to keep the pets when they move into an apartment.
Why couldn't we bail out the homeowners directly rather than just handing it to the billionaire bankers?
Absolutely. $700 billion. That translates to over $3,000 per person, not per household, per person in the United States. Per household, you're talking about $10,000 plus. I mean, this is serious money. And on top of that trillion-dollar mortgage bailout, we have the fiasco, the catastrophe of Iraq, which has cost another $1 trillion. At some point, all this money has to be paid for. And as Ron Paul will be the first to say, it's not going to be paid for by the wealthy. It's going to be paid for by the average American taxpayer who's going to see their cost of living skyrocket, as it's already started to do. And you're going to see a socialization of all this debt that's being created. And at the end of the day, you're going to see the U.S. war machine really ramp up. These possibilities of war with Iran, with Georgia, with Korea, with Al Qaeda, all of that has ramped up a lot. The talk about the chatter about these countries and the threats they pose has really ramped up in the last month. And it's not coincidentally happening at the same time that this financial crisis is unfolding.
Well, do you think that they're turning to military action in order to project an external enemy so people will forget about getting mad at their own leaders, or is it more of a Keynesian thing, military Keynesianism, to pump up the economy through military spending?
I think it's more of the latter. All right? Right now, in the short term, it's mostly about stimulating the economy. There's no job growth happening in this country. The unemployment rate is up in Los Angeles from 5.5% to 7.9% just in the last year. That's a huge increase. We're the third largest now in the country of any major metro area, third largest official unemployment rate. The real unemployment rate, if you count underemployment, probably closer to 12%, maybe even as high as 15%. And what does that mean? It means that the administration is scrambling because everywhere you look now, you see space available for lease signs, sales, massive discounts. They're scared to death that I think the retail sector is going to implode this coming November, December, and they're trying to stimulate the economy the only way they know how, which is to borrow money from taxpayers in the future to the present to wipe off the debt on the bank's balance sheets and bail out the people who have created this mess, and basically to continue the military building, the classic form of Keynesian deficit financing, where the military budget in 2000 was $250 billion. This week, they passed a budget in excess of, I believe, $1.1 trillion. We're up over 400% from where we were pre-9/11. Right? All because of these bogeymen that they've created. Now think about it, Kevin. 19 guys with box cutters have cost the American people over $1 trillion. This isn't what's going on.
That's a lot of money. A lot of money per box cutter.
Yeah. No. We're destroying our country. They are destroying our country. Let me rephrase that. They are have destroyed this country. Right? They've mortgaged.
Somebody hates our freedom, and I don't think it's Al Qaeda.
Yeah. And we have to ask ourselves, there's no more time to speculate. We need to organize. We got to get out there. We got to do what people in the 9/11 truth movement have been doing, which is spreading the truth about the need for a new investigation that has to ramp up. But we have got to. We have to ally with other people, other interest groups, and integrate our message into a mass mobilization around this country to take back control of the government. Cynthia McKinney and Cindy Sheehan and Tom Blood, Jack Blood, and they had a huge concert here yesterday in Los Angeles, the We the People concert. There were tens of thousands of people there. We've got to do that around the country. We have to pull off the propaganda machine of the military, industrial, national media complex, and to the streets and agitate.
I'm agitating here in rural western Wisconsin as best I can at barrettforcongress.us. We'll be back in just a second. Kevin Barrett with Peter Sano.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm Kevin Barrett, talking today with Peter Fathom in this first hour. Peter is with 911truthla.com, and he's a bit of an expert on the economic shenanigans that have been going on lately. And, Peter, let's see, where were we here? You were talking a little bit about the need for protests, for street actions, for getting the word out, for mobilizing the people to resist this kind of fascist coup d'etat that's been unrolling since 9/11 and, you know, picking up steam with this new financial 9/11. But what should people be doing?
Well, if you're living in a big city, you know, one easy thing to do is just go to the public comment period of your local city councils, which often are covered by cable access, public access television. Here in L.A., there are at least three city councils that we're going to do that at, Santa Monica, West Hollywood, and Los Angeles. And the L.A. City Council gets as much as 40,000 to 200,000 viewers during the week. And, you know, you have free public comments. You can go there in front of the camera, put a card in, and for 2 minutes basically talk about whatever you want. And we're going to do that, obviously, about the financial crisis and the Wall Street bailout. But also about 9/11, and we're going to talk about the police state infrastructure. I think at some level now, it's time for people to stop emailing each other, posting on blog sites to the choir, and get out there as, you know, We Are Change people and others have done. Get out in the streets, hold signs, talk to people, distribute literature, engage in debates, and then go to public forums like town halls, city council meetings, anything where there's a public congressional representative, you know, there's a Q&A session, I'll hold up signs. It's, visibility is critical. Otherwise, there's no accountability. And they feel like they're not being watched and they're not being monitored. There's a woman, I didn't see the clip, but apparently some guy, some lady really challenged Henry Paulson this past 2 days ago. And it was very dramatic. She really shouted him down. And I was reminded of my own action against Nancy Pelosi, you know, for which I got arrested, frankly. But it, you know, we're at that point now where people have got to understand that these zones of comfortability and cocoon comfort are going away. Right? They're coming after us now. I'm sure you've seen the Army Times news story about Army regiments being sent back to the United States for street deployments and training. The unemployment rate in this country is about to skyrocket, and they are getting ready for, I think, a much heavier police state presence in the U.S. And I'm not saying 10 years from now. I'm saying next year. All right? That when in Los Angeles they see the unemployment rate go from 8% to 10% to 12%, as it was in the early 90s before the riots took place, you know, the Rodney King riots, they are getting ready for that. And your civil liberties, my civil liberties, First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, Eighth Amendments are all being stripped away. And they have got their team in place in terms of the Supreme Court and in terms of federal courts and how they stacked it to basically enable them to do whatever they want. I mean, Hank Paulson wanted to push through this bailout package not only without any political oversight, but without any judicial oversight. He wanted discretion, complete discretionary control over a $1 trillion bailout package for Wall Street, borrowing from future taxpayers, meaning your children, yourself, okay, having nobody to question him or check him or have accountability. So he could do whatever he wanted, whatever institutions he wanted. I mean, it's unprecedented. This has never happened. This is worse than anything that FDR ever did when we were in World War II. And people have to get out there, and they have to show that they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. And that's why we've launched this affiliate site, madashellnetwork.org, because we're going to use that site to mobilize protests here in Los Angeles. And it's not just going to be us. We're just activists at the grassroots level. We will partner with the Ron Paul people, with progressive Democrats, with ANSWER, with World Can't Wait, with all these different groups. Because the fact is, they're coming after all of us. Right? They're taking away our civil liberties and our rights. They're squeezing our standard of living. They're advancing their own power. And they're advancing an imperial agenda abroad, which is only creating more hatred towards this country and its citizens. We have got to take back control of our country and our government.
Well, I agree. And we need to, get, as you say, get off the Internet into the streets and get out there and inform people in the real world. And, you know, I'm trying to do that in my congressional campaign. I'm going around and handing out DVDs and stuff like that. You know, I'm thinking about a new initiative to try to inform the police departments in my district. I'm thinking about, you know, taking a few days and sort of driving from town to town, stopping off at the police department and giving them a 9/11 Truth DVD and, you know, maybe another Civil Liberties DVD like Washington, You're Fired. And I think that the local police and police in general, you know, need to get this kind of information because they're going to be asked to enforce martial law along with the Army if it ever comes down to that. And you know, the more nuanced and aware their attitude is, the better off we'll be.
Well, I would also invite them, invite the police department flyers to a screening, you know, free screening, put it on for them. I think that's a smart thing. We might want to do that, too. I mean, if you give people DVDs, you've got a decent chance they'll watch it, but you also have a decent chance that they'll just shelf it, never pick it up.
Yeah.
And people get exposure and that they be challenged. You know, every Sunday here in Los Angeles, we have a group of activists, as many as 5 to 10. Every single Sunday, we're out at the 3rd Street Promenade in the public walking space, a boardwalk space, where you have hundreds of people, and they see us there. And a lot of them, they're becoming more and more interested in what we're talking about. Our last monthly meeting, we had about 105 people attend that meeting. And then obviously at the September 11th event, we had 350 people. So we're seeing record levels of attendance. I think the financial collapse that's unfolding is adding to this. There's a lot of uncertainty. People are questioning their assumptions in a way they've never done before. And I hope for everyone's sake on this call that they support people like you, like Carol Brulé, like Cynthia McKinney, that they rise to the occasion and take these candidates, Cindy Sheehan, and embrace them and put in, like I said on the last time I was on your radio show, we have got to go the extra mile. We've got to work with candidates like yourself. And any candidate that is going to be in the elections this November who is supporting this bailout package, and that includes Barack Obama, frankly, anybody who is supporting this bailout package, we should not vote for that candidate. It's that black and white. This bailout package is not in our interest. It's in the interest of Wall Street. They are trying to sell this to us just like they sold the Iraq war on weapons of mass destruction BS story. We're getting the same line of lies and spin. And
so people are waking up to it, though, Peter, faster than they were with the Iraq war, because the latest poll I saw showed that the approval of the bailout package was something like in a 20% range, and the disapproval was in the high 50s. So, it was over 2-1 against.
I'm glad to hear that. But they're doing it. Today's news says that Congress is going to pass this first thing.
It makes you wonder, how long can these politicians continue to defy the will of the people? When you've got those kind of poll numbers, despite this propaganda blitzkrieg, and you've got popularity ratings for Congress in single digits, one third of the popularity ratings of Bush, which are as low as it gets for presidents in history, and yet with Congress, it's only one third of that in single digits, and yet these congressmen keep getting reelected, with 90% of the incumbents get reelected. How long can this go on where the people are this disenchanted and yet the system just keeps staggering along blindly? At some point, it's got to snap.
Well, part of the problem is the system counts on passive spectator consumer-type behavior from the public at large. You have the truth movement, you have the peace movement, but at the end of the day, the activists in that movement are less than 5%. It's 2% of the American public. There are all these people that are upset, but they're just sitting on their couches watching TV, being entertained and distracted by stories about Sarah Palin and the like. We have got to mobilize that other 25, 30, 40, 60% of the country. And if it means having sit-ins, if it means having protests, civil disobedience actions, then so be it. And we tried doing this in 2003 with the anti-war movement, and Bush called them focus groups. All right? At some level, the civil dissonance in the system has got to be as palpable as it was during the Vietnam War, during the early 70s. We have got to create cost to the establishment where they're worried that the system is raveling out of control. They're offering Obama as their way of maintaining the trust and credibility of the system. But even he is a tool of the system. He's a salesperson for the Rockefellers, the Pritzkers, and Wall Street. And we have got to get that message out there. And we've also got to tell people to get out there behind and start doing something rather than just complaining.
Okay, well, Peter Fathom, you've been doing a lot, and we'll be back to pick it up in a moment, so stay tuned.
Educational, inspirational, constitutional. You're listening to We the People Radio Network. We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. First hour, I'm talking with Peter Fathom of LA, 911truthla.com. And the next hour, I'll have on Ed Thompson, the mayor of Tomah, Wisconsin. He was originally going to be in the first hour, but he had to cover somebody's shift at the restaurant that he owns, Mr. Ed's Teepee Club, terrific restaurant in Tomah. So Ed's coming on the second hour along with Dale Decker of the Union Down Movement, urging people to fly their flags upside down as a signal of dire distress. So if you want to call in and join Peter Fathom, the number here is area code 512-646-1984. That's 512-646-1984. Well, Peter, you know, you're right. We need to get off our rear ends and get out into the streets and make some noise and cause the powers that be to see that there is a price to be paid for trying to install fascism in our country. And you know, the thing is that if we wait, once there's a real crunch and a skyrocketing unemployment rate and people are, you know, angry and out there like, you know, like happened in the Depression, at that point, and if they're one step ahead of us, they've got all these martial law plans in place, you know, it's going to be our disadvantage. That's why we really need to be one step ahead of the game and active now before it reaches that point.
Yeah, I mean, we are where we are currently because not enough people have been willing to act as citizens of a democracy. They've counted on their so-called elected congressional reps to pursue impeachment, to pursue the war withdrawal, and they've done nothing but betray across the board. And at the end of the day, these politicians have a 96% incumbency rate. You have people like Joe Lieberman, who was Gore's vice presidential candidate in 2000, you know, being the Republican candidate in second in line before Palin for John McCain. I mean, there is no two-party system. It's essentially an illusion that Wall Street puts out there so that they can manipulate the American people into this sense that there's checks and balances, whereas in reality, you have a very small, tiny 1% of this country running the show, and the other 95 to 99% is mostly just passively sitting aside, acting as spectators, consuming the propaganda that's spun for them. And a million Iraqis are dead, 5,000 Americans are dead, 30,000 plus have lost their limbs. The war has cost $1 trillion, and we're going to bail Wall Street out with $1 trillion. I mean, what's going on here? Enough is enough, and that's why we have started this new subsidiary affiliate called MadAsHellNetwork.org, and that site's specific goal is going to be Los Angeles oriented protests and action strategies to force some accountability from our elected leaders.
Well, you've had some great action strategies in the past. Your Bill Maher intervention was one of the most successful in terms of getting people's interest and notice of all of the those kinds of interventions. That was, a year ago or so. And then the Tournament of Roses parade action last year on New Year's Day was also pretty amazing. So I'm anxiously awaiting to hear what you guys come up with next.
Well, I mean, this is the first time I'm announcing this, but one of the things we're thinking of doing is, this isn't definite yet, but January 1st of this coming year, we are thinking of having some sort of convergence, 9/11 truth, the former impeachment forces, and the anti-war movement in Pasadena to do something very aggressive and militant and visible in terms of civil disobedience at the Pasadena Rose Parade. But again, this is something we're fleshing out. We're going to be having a serious discussion about this at our next meeting. And depending on how many people are willing to participate, you know, we're going to try to come up with a strategy. But it's critical that we create visibility. You know, the problem with these letters and these emails is they get shelved and they get ignored. Right? What the establishment cares about is visibility. And, you know, the 96% incumbency rate is there mostly because you have corporations that are financing their campaigns, and the average person is out to lunch with respect to the dissent that's out there because they're not aware of it. They don't see it. If they see it on television, it's real. And the truth movement, I think, understands that increasingly, that visibility in the streets and on the major television spectacles is a way of creating unease and getting the system to respond rather than being ignored.
Right. During the Republican National Convention, a bunch of us, including We Are Change Minnesota, did a 9/11 truth event, a march through the streets all the way to this area by the convention where MSNBC had their bandstand, and they had, you know, live pretty much 24-hour coverage going there. And we got our 9/11 truth signs positioned in such a way that they were pretty much permanently behind the talking heads for hours and hours on end. So we had hours and hours of 9/11 truth signs, you know, just right next to the talking heads. It was terrific, you know. And that's the kind of stuff that we need to do.
Absolutely. I heard. I was on the radio just driving in my car and listening to, 1150 AM, which is Air America. And I was stunned to hear the 9/11 truth background noise. There was this guy chanting, and I heard about other actions later on. And that's wonderful. I mean, that sort of stuff, you know, it changes the world, people. You know, when you show people that there's dissent, right, it changes. You open the door in their mind. And I think that the truth movement may have forced the 1929-2001 choice by virtue of the fact that the establishment is aware that people are getting wise to what's going on, that they cannot pull another 9/11 on us. And we have to hammer at that. And we have got to get a brand new, and let's keep in mind our paramount goal, which is to get a brand new independent investigation, international investigation of the events and causes of 9/11, what really happened that day, why.
And an international investigation does seem to be more and more possible now as people all over the world, and especially in Europe, are waking up to this. I had Elias Davidson on the show yesterday, and he just moved to Germany from Iceland. He says that the European 9/11 truth movement is really growing. It's undergoing that rapid growth phase that here, you know, we think our most rapid growth phase probably 2006, and there it's just exploding right now. And I don't think they're going to ever, you know, turn back over there. You know, here we have that problem of people who just can't handle the emotional repercussions. And in Europe, they're not, you know, they're not a nation of people who've been brainwashed to think that the American government is a bunch of do-gooders. So hopefully that some pressure from abroad will help those of us who are working here at home. And together we can, you know, get this investigation and turn history around.
Yeah, I think Kathleen just came back. Kathleen Rosenblatt, who's one of the co-founders of 9/11 Truth LA. She just came back from Europe recently and was talking to us about Belgium and France and all the stuff that's going on there. And Yark Kupisk and Joseph Kalp, who did the reflecting poll, have been talking to our group about what's going on in Germany and in Russia. Apparently, in both countries, on state television, they ran 9/11 Truth shows, which is fantastic. It's a movement. We have to start working with people across the country and across the world, collaborating with them, because this is not a U.S. problem. This is a national problem. 9/11 truth was a lie inflicted on the populations of the world, and we have to respond accordingly.
Indeed we do, and it's a great opportunity to kind of change our heads around here in the USA, where too often we've been so full of ourselves and not noticing the rest of the world and, you know, always thinking of our history as one in which we were always the good guys and it was always those evil others who attacked us first and on, that whole triumphalist reading of American history, a form of American exceptionalism. That whole thing really does have to go. And I think that 9/11 is the perfect tool for turning that inside out because, you know, once you notice that, oops, we met the enemy and he is us, you know, then the shock effect and the awareness of who we really are as opposed to who we like to think we are will maybe give us a chance to go and retool who we really are and make ourselves what we wish we could be. That'll be just in time before, you know, these lunatics launch World War III in this desperate effort to take over the world on behalf of the international banksters. So I think we still have a shot at it, but we gotta keep at it. This is not the kind of project that you can just, you know, work for a few months or even a few years and then say, well, I guess we didn't get it yet, so let's give up. We got to keep going on this.
Well, organize.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate your excellent work. Tell me those two websites again.
The madashellnetwork.org and 911truthla.com.
Okay. Well, hey, it's been great as always. Take care, Peter. Keep up the great work.
Kevin, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Peter Bottom will be back in just a bit with a couple of Wisconsin troublemakers. Ed Thompson, Tommy's better brother, most popular libertarian politician in Wisconsin, and Dale Decker of the Union Down Movement. So stick around. All we want is